And it was basically, I think God was challenging me to really reflect on what I thought of as faith, whether I had faith, and what that meant. And I think it became clearer that what it really meant was sort of letting God be God in my life. And, you know, when you have everything sort of under your control, you know, there's limited room for God to operate in your life. And I felt like God was challenging me that was the case, that I didn't have enough room to give to God to work in my life, and that I needed to start to let go. So that was, you know, something that I realized, and I was like, okay, I don't know how that's going to pan out, but at least it was clear to me that that was something that he wanted to work in this year. So when Pastor Sam said, oh, this is a year of the impossible, I was kind of like, oh, okay, I guess that kind of relates, right? Because it's all about faith. So I think that was, I think this is how I began the year. And I think throughout the year, a lot has happened to me, my life. I think God's been giving me revelations, which is something that I just wanted to share today. One thing I guess I learned is that faith, it doesn't, you know, when things are good, it doesn't take that much faith, right? You're just grateful, you're thankful. And when things are bad, it also doesn't take that much faith, because you have no choice but to go to God, right? You're just kind of desperate and you're hanging on to anything. So, you know, I always kind of thought, oh, you know, I'm faithful, I have faith, you know, but I think God kind of humbled me through different situations and kind of realizing, no, it takes the most amount of faith when you're faced with uncertainty, when you don't know what's going to happen, whether it's good or bad, right? So I think just realizing that, and I was faced with a lot of uncertainty this year because, you know, I lost my job in the beginning of the year. So that was bad, but, you know, I had no choice but to kind of go to God and say, okay, what next, God, you know? So I think slowly, I think God kind of began to reveal those things to me. And I think we all do this, right, where we kind of create what Pastor Sam Kim said last weekend, where we create a lifeline, right, like a fallback. Or if everything goes wrong, at least I have this thing to hold on to, right? And something that something could be something other than God, right? And I think as we go through sort of the building fund and everything, I think that finance is something that I'm thinking a lot about. And I think that relates to both men and women, right? With us women, it's very, financial security is something that's very important to us in thinking about the future. And for men, we have a lot of pressure sort of thinking about how to provide for the family, how to maintain their finances. And I think the reason the finance is so important is because it gives us that false sense of security. Oh, if everything else in my life isn't well, at least I have this to fall back on. And, you know, the Lord says, you can't serve both men, both God and money, right? And I think the reason he keeps on singling out money, and as Stefan said, there's more reference to money and being a steward and finances in New Testament than maybe anything else. It's probably because that's where our heart can be most easily divided. As long as we live in this world, money is something that gives us comfort, power. And, you know, not to say it's bad to save, bad to plan, but I think when our heart is divided and when our heart is on that money, you know, and our comfort and trust is in that, right, then that's when it competes with the Lord as sort of the source of trust and faith in our lives. So if you could turn to Hebrews 11. Verse 1. It says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And then if you skip to verse 6, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And I was thinking about, okay, it's pretty clear. He says without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I was just thinking about, why is it so important to God that we have faith? You know, why is faith so important to God that it says we cannot please him if we don't have faith? And I think as you go, as I read through sort of the rest of chapter 11, I think I was able to pick up on a couple of sort of examples. And if you go to verse 8 and 12, and I think it basically gives all the examples of what it takes faith, or who had faith over history, Lord, of the Bible, that was able to please God. And one is believing in his promise and his ability and the willingness to deliver and to fulfill that promise. And that ultimately comes down to believing in its character. So if you go to verse 8, he says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father, because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. So, you know, it's faith. It takes faith to know that God has a promise for you, number one, that you're important enough that God cares to give you a promise, and two, to believe in his character to deliver on that, that, you know, he is able, and more important maybe, that willing to deliver on that promise, and to know that character in him. And the second part is, you know, I think this is something I think Michael Pierce mentioned that kind of struck me, and which was that, you know, we as Christians today don't live as if Jesus is coming back tomorrow or could come back any day, you know. We live through our lives, sort of. We go through our lives same as anybody else, non-Christians, Christians. And we don't, yeah, I mean, if Jesus came tomorrow and, you know, sat you down and said, hey, my daughter, my son, would we be ashamed, you know, or would we be happy to see him, right? And we don't have that kingdom perspective. And it takes faith to live like that, right? Because we are in this world. It's so easy to get caught up on what's going on in this world. It's hard to think of the eternal, something greater than this world and something outside of our lives now, right? So if you go to verse 24 in the same chapter, it says, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be ill-treated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. So I think, ultimately, I think what it came down to, and I think something that I've really learned throughout this year, is faith, it takes faith. I think having faith basically reflects our desire to seek him and to know him and to experience him. And you cannot experience him if you don't leave room for God, you know, whatever it is, right? And I think this is something that Pastor Sam mentioned in the beginning of the year as he was explaining what the year of the impossible was about. It's about faith, but faith is not about mustering up something in us, right, to get something done or to believe in something, right? It's not about our faith. And it's not trying to muster up our own strength to do something and to believe, but it's believing and trusting in God's character, and believing and trusting in his faithfulness in our lives. And that's so much greater than what we can ever do. So I think it was just a good reminder and things just kind of coming together. And just the last point that I want to share is, if you go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. So in thinking about, again, you know, it obviously every one of us has a certain aspect of faith. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. You know, it was by faith that we believed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and, you know, we were saved by his grace. And he came so that he can free us from sin, from the yoke of slavery. But more importantly, I think he came so that we may experience his love, right? His abundant love in our lives, and to experience his power and to experience his, you know, love. And I think it comes with letting go of the fear, you know, the catchy phrase, if you let go and let God, You know, just imagine how much more fulfilling our lives would be if we can just let go of the control or whatever it is in our lives that we hold on to that we can't let go and can't let God operate. That's probably the area that we are most fearful of in some aspects, right? Whether it's financial instability, losing health, or, you know, friends, relationship, whatever it might be. Whatever we can't let go, that's probably an area where we're not letting God operate. And that's the aspect that where we're holding on to the fear probably the most. So I was personally challenged that, you know, I think faith in some ways equals freedom. God came to free us, not just from sin, but from, you know, all the fear and distrust and anxiety and all that. So, yeah. Chelsea, you want to come?
Let's pray. Let's just reflect upon, you know, where we are in our lives. And let's just, you know, as the song says, give all to Jesus, whatever it is that burdens you. You know, Jesus says, take my yoke, my burden is light. You know, that's God's problem, not ours. So just, you know, whatever fear, anxiety, things that make you afraid of letting go so that, you know, you can't experience God in that part of your life. Let's just give it over to the Lord. Because God just wants us to come to Him, and God just wants to pour out to us, and He wants us to experience His love, His abundant love in our lives. So let's just give over to God, whatever it is. And let's just be really free in knowing that love and security in the Lord. So just pray. Let's lift up the building fund, and more importantly, it's not about just raising money, but through that, you know, through the heart of giving to God, that we would experience the faithfulness of the Lord in our lives, that it would be an amazing testimony for all of us as part of our faithful act of giving, that, you know, it'd be an opportunity for us to experience God and His abundance more in our lives. You know, it's a step of faith for the church to move and to try to buy a place when we don't have the funds. But it takes a step of faith on all of our parts individually to trust in the Lord to provide and to really let God operate and be willing to see the miraculous pan out in our lives. So let's just lift that up, and for the hearts of every person in our church who gives. Let's lift up our missionaries, the ones who are so faithfully serving the Lord's kingdom, and probably have to, you know, step out in faith every day for whatever it is, you know, funds or just missions and ministry and all that. They probably know more than anything what it really means to step out in faith. So let's lift up the Chungs in China. Let's just lift up lift them up so that they may just really glorify the Lord through what they're doing. God will just really multiply the fruits of their ministry, and that, you know, that He would bless their family as well and them individually, as His, you know, beloved sons and daughters. So let's just lift up the Chungs. and the three sons. Let's also lift up Godwin and Rebecca in our church. As most of you know, Godwin has a Shanti ministry in Hong Kong to reach out to, you know, the specific ethnic group in Hong Kong. And, you know, that God would pour out so much of his heart and faithfulness to Godwin and Rebecca that they would have so much to pour out themselves to give to these communities and to serve them. And really bless their family with their baby Ashley. That you know that God will be faithful in their lives as well as in their ministries. Let's just lift them up. Just thank you so much for this morning, Lord, and just you know taking us on this journey of faith individually and corporately together as well, Lord. We're just excited, Lord God. We're excited because you know we know that you want to reach out to us more than we want to reach out to you, and you love us so much, and you want us to experience your love and abundance in our lives, your faithfulness in our lives. So will you just remind us each day, Lord God, that there'll be a renewal of mind, Lord God, no matter how bogged down we are by these things in life, Lord, and how distracted we are, that we would always go back to the truth, Lord God, that set us free, Lord God, the truth that you love us so much that you sacrificed your only son, Lord, to come and to give us that life, Lord God, that we otherwise did not have, Lord. So we just thank you for your grace, Lord. We thank you for your love and for your faithfulness. And just remind us each day, Lord. Holy Spirit, just pour out, Lord. Just in our hearts, remind us, pour out through different people in our lives. And we just want to thank you so much, Lord, just for all that you've been doing in our lives and all that we are able to give to you, Lord. Thank you. And just be with the pastors as they return from the pastoral retreat and that you just give them a safe journey and they'll come back refreshed. And refilled with your spirit. And just be with every person who's here this morning and the rest of our congregation, that you will just give them energy and strength and joy throughout today and this weekend. In Jesus' precious name, pray.